We're going to be starting on Pei Pei Zamed Aleph. We're going to be starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines from the bottom. Pei Pei Zamed Aleph. Frank the Gemara. So we had left off last week that there's a Machlokes, Shlokes, and Reb Yechanan, where the Truma in these days is biblical or rabbinic. Frank the Gemara, the summer Reb Yechanan, Truma Bisman has had the Raisa. Does Reb Yechanan hold it's rabbinic? But Tanya, we learned not that way. Shtei Kupais, Acha Shel Chulin v'Acha Shel Truma. You have two bigger boxes, one of Chulin and one of Truma. Kupas are smaller boxes. I take it back. Two smaller boxes, one of Chulin and one of Truma. Ufneim Shtei Soin. And in front of them are two bigger volume measurements, Acha Shel Chulin v'Acha Shel Truma. So you have a small Truma and a big Truma, and a small Chulin and a small Chulin, and a big Chulin. V'Naflu Eilu L'Tech Eilu. And each one fell into another, meaning one of the small fell into one of the big, but we don't know which small fell into which big. So we don't know whether the Chulin fell into the Chulin and the Truma into the Truma, or whether the Chulin into the Truma and the Truma into the Chulin. If the Chulin fell into the Truma and the Truma fell into the Chulin, everything is banned for Yisrael, because there's no 100-to-1. If the Chulin fell into the Chulin and the Truma fell into the Truma, it's wonderful. The Kayim will eat the Truma and Yisrael will eat the Chulin. That's the question. So Zok to Gemara, Harelu Mutarim, we can assume that the Chulin fell into the Chulin and the Truma fell into the Truma for no logical reason, because the truth is there's no reason to assume that way, except we'll assume that. Now, the reason to assume that is questionable. Why are we assuming that? The Zakta Gemara, the Yamar Eshlakish, Bushiraba Chulin ala Truma. There's more Chulin than Truma. So even if the Truma fell into the Chulin, it would be only rabbinically banned. Because biblically, everything is batul b'raiv. So if I have a majority Chulin and a minority Truma, it's batul. So now the question becomes a rabbinic question. And Reish Lakish's opinion seems to be that Truma is a drabbanon anyway. So it's like two drabbanons coming in here. Number one, is Truma itself is a drabbanon b'zman hazeh. And number two, even if it would be biblical, it would be batul biblically. So it would only be a rabbinic problem to begin with. So coupled with the fact that Truma is a drabbanon and biblically it's batul, it's only rabbinically. So Reish Lakish says that's why we are lenient. And we say, you can assume that the Chulin fell into the Chulin. A, it's a suffix drabbanon. At worst case scenario, we're dealing with a prohibition that's rabbinic. And we usually say suffix drabbanon l'kula by itself. But over here, since Truma fell into something, it makes it a little bit more hard to say suffix drabbanon l'kula. But given the fact that it's 51% Chulin anyway, even if the Truma fell in, so it's a double drabbanon. So we're lenient. That's what Reish Lakish says. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ava Bishaloi Rabu Chulin Ala Truma. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even if it's not more, meaning, even if the mixture would be 50% Truma, 50% Chulin, if the Truma fell into the Chulin, we don't know, you can say, go lenient. Now, why in the world would you be lenient? The only reason to be lenient is because it's a rabbinic suffix. It's a suffix of a rabbinic prohibition. But if Rabbi Yochanan holds Truma as a deraisa, how in the world can he be lenient here? We have Truma that fell into something and Chulin that fell into something. If we're dealing with a rabbinic prohibition, you can have a machloikas. Reish Lakish is saying, even though the prohibition is only rabbinic, we need majority anyway, because we want to be machmer, and we want majority anyway. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, we can rely on the fact that it's rabbinic. But if Rabbi Yochanan holds Truma is biblical, why in the world can you rely on a 50-50 mixture and say it was Chulin that fell into the Chulin and Truma that fell into the Truma? What basis do you have to say that? Now, there's no logical basis at any point. But we have halachas. One halacha is Safin Drabbanan L'Kula. If you don't know something is rabbinically banned, go L'Kula. One halacha is that everything is batul b'raiv. So Reish Lakish wants two things. Number one, it's rabbinic. And number two, it's anyway raiv. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it's enough to be rabbinic. We can get that. But we can't get that biblical suffix should go l'kula with no basis. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even if there's no more in the big box than in the small box, we can still say go l'kula. That proves that he must hold Truma is rabbinic, because biblically there's no basis for that.
The baseline halacha of Truma is something majority?
Yes.
Why would the Rabbanim higher percentage be more stringent? Why would it be 1 to 60, 1 to 100?
Okay, so let's go back. So you're asking a good question. Let's take it one by one. First of all, the baseline of majority is only when they're the same kind. Because if it's two different kinds, then it's a question of taste.
Item.
Two different items.
If they're the same item.
No, I don't mean chulin. I mean wheat and wheat.
Yeah,
apples
yeah.
And apples. Oranges and oranges.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I would have never asked you.
I know.
Chulin and chulin, chuma and chuma. Apples and apples, oranges and oranges. There, majority is enough. A majority is enough. Some say you need 2 to 1. Some say you don't even need 2 to 1. You just need a majority. Now, if you just need a majority, Rabbanan came along and made a gzera. That meaning like this. They said, normally, again, I'll say it like this. They only said 1 to 60 when it's not its own kind. When it's own kind, we say 1 is batul and 2. That's how we paskin. The 2 to 1 is batul. 2 to 1 is batul. By a davar yavesh, by something solid, by solids, by liquid, we're more machmer, but by solids. Now, came along by truma, and Rabbanan added a restriction by truma, and said, since truma is something that is a, we consider it a kedusha, we want it to be batul more rabbinically, and they added this 100 to 1. Totally rabbinic.
Why would they be more stringent than the biblical law of majority or?
I mean, why would they add restrictions?
Yeah, why would they? Why
I don't
would
know.
The percentage be different?
Well, because they. I mean.
Is it offense?
See, by truma, it's not offense. See, by other things, they made offense.
I mean, we have a 60 to 1 rule. Where does that apply? That's two different.
60 to 1 is when there's a taste issue. Or where there's a possible taste issue, meaning if you cook it, there would be a taste, or if you do something to it, there would be a taste. So the Rabbanan wanted that it shouldn't give a taste, because taste is biblical.
So regardless of the item, regardless of the area, why would there be a rabbinic stringency that is such a higher percentage than the simple majority biblical? What's the 100 to 1?
It's based on a smachter, a pasuk. They based it on a pasuk, but it's not a deraisa. I want to make it clear. It's not biblical. It's based on the fact that from every 100, one is truma smaiser. Two are truma, right? From every 100, two are truma, but 10 is meiser, and one is, they based on a pasuk that alludes to 1 in 100. So they based it on that. But you're right. There must have been a logic behind it, and I don't know what it is.
I'm asking if there's real accustomed.
Sure, it has consequences. Huge consequences. Yeah, but you give it to Kayan. It's not totally banned. It's Kayan. It's Kayan can eat it. But you do lose money. And by Kiliyat Kerem and Arla, biblically it's about to arrive, and they said 200 to 1. And there you lost it. There it's Asabana. Right. Okay. Not by Kiliyat Kerem and Arla, no. And you have to get rid of it. We had it before you burn it. Anyway, so the question is in Rabbi Yochanan. So Bishlam Elirish Lakish, Ksav B'drabon Anami Rabbi Yehuda Binan. He holds you need a double chumrah. A, truma is rabbinic. B, even with rabbinic, we still want at least a majority chulin. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, who holds truma as biblical, Kasha, where do we go here? Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Hara Elu, Hachulim mutarim lazar. Bushu rubu chulin shebekupas chulin ala truma shebesat truma. See, I was right the first time. It seems Rashi says the box is bigger than the saw. Hilchach talina b'shani ayim rechulin l'tei chulin afu. I made a mistake. I said the kupa is smaller. No, it's the saw is smaller. It falls into the big box. So therefore I say the chulin fell into the chulin. I mean, I have ipcha b'nafu saw truma b'kupas chulin batla b'ruba. Even if it would be the opposite way, it would still be biblically batla. Avishulay rabu desamchina nashi ayimer. We rely on the fact that we assume that way. Elu Rabbi Yechon and Kasha, the mitalina lekula b'isa deraisa, that we are titled lekula by an isa deraisa. And for the Gemara, Ham Mari Rabbanim he, but no the Amri Rabbi Yosi. Now over here, there's a major girsa question. The way we have it, Rabbi Yechon is saying, I said that halacha that one to one is mutter, according to the Rabbanon, who hold truma is only rabbinic. I personally hold like Rabbi Yosi that truma is biblical, as he will show in a moment that Rabbi Yosi holds truma is biblical. That's our girsa. Hamani Rabbanon, that which I explained, that Mishnah that talks about falling chulin and truma into truma, is going like the Rabbanon. Vanoa the Amri Rabbi Yosi. And I personally happen to hold Rabbi Yosi who says truma is biblical. Now Rashi says, if you look at the top Rashi, Vanoa Amina Rabbi Yosi. I said it's biblical according to Rabbi Yosi. Not that I hold like Rabbi Yosi. When I said it's biblical, I was talking Rabbi Yosi's opinion because Rabbi Yosi was the Tana of our Mishnah. He was the one that said an androgynous can feed his wife truma. And Rish Lakish explained that it's rabbinic, and I said, no, it's biblical, because I was explaining Rabbi Yosi. He was the Tana of the Mishnah. So there's an argument here. What does Rabbi Yechon personally hold? Does he hold like Rabbanon that truma is rabbinic, and when he said truma is biblical, he was explaining Rabbi Yosi? Or does he himself hold like Rabbi Yosi, and he's saying, that Mishnah I explained according to the Rabbanon, but I personally hold like Rabbi Yosi? Makes a big difference. The Rambam paskins truma b'zman hazeh is a drabanon, and everybody says Rabbi Yochanan says it's deraisa. But if you learn that the Rambam is saying Rabbi Yosi was saying I was explaining Rabbi Yosi, but I personally hold it's rabbinic, so then the Rambam paskins the truma b'zman hazeh is rabbinic. The Ravid paskins truma b'zman hazeh is a deraisa. So going to the Ravid, he's paskins Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's biblical. So the question is how to be gairus in this line. I need the amrik of Yaisi. And Rashi says, I know amina of Yaisi. I said it according to Rabbi Yosi. The other way is I said like Rabbi Yosi. The difference is what is Rabbi Yochanan's personal opinion? Is Rabbi Yochanan personally agree to Rabbi Yosi? Or does Rabbi Yochanan personally agree to Rabbanah? That seems to be the shared question here. Some say that this is the basis of the Machlokes, the Rambam, and the Ravid. We paskin truma b'zman hazeh as a drabanon, the Maisa. Rashi. Bano amina lo Rabbi Yosi. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no truma in Chutz La'aretz, it's correct. Truma. Yeah. Bano amina lo Rabbi Yosi. That's why when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have to be questioned, you have to know where you're buying your food. You have to have a good hechsher to know that Trumas and Mises were taken off. Some people rely on that answer, and then you can start picking and choosing who you want to rely on. Some people don't rely on any answer. They take it off every time, themselves.
Well, they buy enough to take off.
What?
They buy enough to take off.
Take off a little bit. Oh, Trumas is the Mashu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they do with that?
They destroy it. They throw it away. In a nice way, there. Yeah. They have to make truma and then maiserishin and then truma. It's a whole process of how do you separate everything.
You can't give it to
Avram. No, we said Avram is tamei. Tamei meis. You can't give it to Avram. We love Avram dearly, but we can't give him our truma. Now, here comes. He'll be waiting in line for everybody to give him their truma. But no, the Amrik Rabbi Yosi. I say like Rabbi Yosi is our Gersa, but Rashi says, but I know I mean it Rabbi Yosi, I explained Rabbi Yosi, the Masnis and Rabbi Yosi come along. Because our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi that says our dragon is Kayan. Uli Didei Amina, and according to him I said, Av Machila because of a Shaita Trumanami Rabbi Yosi, the Raisi Abiz Manazeh. So basically what we're answering is, there's a Machlokes Tanoim. Rish Lakish holds that even Rabbi Yosi holds it's rabbinic. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it's a Machlokes Tanoim. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi. I explained Rabbi Yosi that Truma is a deraisa. Now I can prove to you that Rabbi Yosi holds Truma is a deraisa. The Tanya B'Seder Olam. There's a section of Brises, it's available today, called Seder Olam. Seder Olam discusses a lot of things historically and halachically based on history. And in there it says, Asher Yorshu Avisecha V'Yerishta. It says, to the land that your forefathers inherited, and you will inherit it. Notice the double language of Yerushu. So we say, Yerusha Yishayinu Ushniya Yeshlehem. We had to inherit Eretz Yisrael twice, meaning Eretz Yisrael had to get its Kedusha two times. It got it when they came into Eretz Yisrael the first time. It lost it when they were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. And they got it again when they came back for the second Beis HaMikdash. Shlishis Eilohem. There's never a need for the third one. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remained intact for all halachas, even post Korban. Because the Torah said Yerishta twice. Yerushu Yerishta. They tell me twice Kedusha has to be introduced to Eretz Yisrael, meaning halachas of Eretz Yisrael have to be introduced. But once introduced a second time, it never loses it. That's, and Rabbi Yechonin, Mantana, one second, Mantana Seder Olam, who is the author of this Raisa? Rabbi Yossi. So here is Rabbi Yossi clearly stating that once the second Beis HaMikdash was there, then Eretz Yisrael never loses Kedusha. Truma Bismana says it's a Raisa. Rish Lakish holds, even though it doesn't say it inside, the Rishayim speak out, the Rabbi Yossi wrote a Seder Olam, but not necessarily is that his opinion. He himself might have wrote somebody else's opinion in Seder Olam. He himself holds Truma's rabbinic. So the argument Rabbi Yechonin and Rish Lakish is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Rabbi Yechonin holds Rabbi Yossi says biblical. He says it the Farish in Seder Olam. He wrote Seder Olam. And Rish Lakish says, he put in things in Seder Olam that he doesn't necessarily agree to, and this would be one of them. And Rish Lakish holds that even according to Rabbi Yossi, Truma Bismana says rabbinic. Yes?
Seder Olam is not part of Sanat, is it?
Seder Olam is Bryce's.
Bryce's. So, what is the concept that we lost the first Jerusalem that we needed a second Jerusalem?
When Eretz Yisrael was exiled, when Yidden were exiled, the halachas of Eretz Yisrael are off.
Are we going to go with now?
So again, this is the Shaila, how to learn the thing. The Torah said, Yarshu V'Yerishta.
So Rabbi Yossi
says that the first time it went off, the second time it never goes off.
Where do we know that? How do you know that?
From the double Lashon, there's only two inheritances.
He wrote it.
He didn't write the Pasuk, Ashi Yarshu V'Yerishta. That's a Pasuk.
Yeah, that's true. That's
cool.
Yeah.
That's a pasuk.
Yeah, I noticed now.
Now, we paskin that Truma Bismana says it's Rabbana, that the Kedusha did go off biblically. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. The Rambam doesn't.
Yeah, but isn't that the same thing as us as well? But what's that Lashon? The Kedusha, Rishona.
Similar thing, correct.
I don't see that Lashon here.
So, write it in. What do you want me to do?
That's the same thing? That's the exact same thing?
Similar. Has different connotations. Because there are different Kedushas, and you're pushing me to somewhere I don't want to confuse people. There's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, there's Kedushas HaMikdash. Is the Makom HaMikdash Kaddish today? Did it lose its Kedusha? So that's Kedusha Rishayin HaKitcha L'Shayit HaMikitcha L'Asid Lover. We Paskim, the Rambam Paskims, that the Mikdash is still biblically Kaddish. The place of the Beis HaMikdash is remains Kaddish, will never go off.
But that is...
That's why, according to the Rambam, a Tumei has no business going on Harabayas. Because Harabayas retained its Kedusha.
But that you could hold that to Raisa, but still hold Rabbanan.
Correct. It's two separate issues. Sometimes we use the language of Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael as well. We do. Sometimes we don't. But there's two Kedushas, and therefore you don't want to get confused between the two. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas HaMikdash.
That's why they said you can't put your hand in the Kosel.
Those who are Machmer say that inside the stones of the Kosel are already Harabayas. Correct.
That's a Chumah?
The Raya is, many people do put their hands into the Kaisel.
I never understood how they did.
It's Machloikas. Is the wall on the outside of the Harabayas? The wall on the inside of the Harabayas? Is the wall, according to some Achrayim, a few hundred feet away from the Harabayas? Not necessarily right next to the Harabayas either. So there's all kinds of machlokes that we'll find out when Mashiach comes. It's not pertinent. I mean, it is, whether you want to put your hands into the kaitel. Rashi. Don't you actually Yerusha Rashi to be May Yerushua have Yerusha? The Kain Shnia to be May Ezra. The Shigalu Galus Rashi now. But look, Kedusha Maharetz. Kedusha Saharetz. There was no Truma, no mitzvah of Truma biblically when they went into exile the first time. Shlishis Elohim. Kleimar. Leiboy Lemahedra and Mirsa. They don't have to re inherit it, meaning they don't have to re Kedusha it. The Yerusha Medes, he it stands there. Actually, in High Krab, Le Bat Le Kedusha Zarez Megalus Titus. When Titus took us into Galus, the Kedusha did not get off. Period. Second base of English. Romans. Titus. So now we've resolved Rabbi Yechon's opinion, meaning he agrees that Samachlaik is Tanoim. Again, depending on that first line in the Amud, will depend what he personally holds. Regardless our Girsa, he agrees to Rabbi Yaisi. Regardless Rashi's Girsa, I'm explaining Rabbi Yaisi. That doesn't necessarily mean he agrees. Talk to Gemara Baita. The subject now, going back to the Truma, to the Truma, to the Chulim, into the Tchulim. Rabbi Yaisi said, since it's rabbinic, even if it's 50-50, say, Sabbath, Rabban, and Lekula. So we have a problem. Now, understand this Gemara. I'm going to explain it Rashi's way. It's a big machlokes rishayim. I'm going to explain it Rashi's way. A person, to have a kosher mikvah, you need 40 saw of rainwater to start. If you have other water mixed in before 40 saw of rainwater, 3 lugan, which is very little, of other water, mixed in before you have your 40 saw of rainwater, the mikvah can never be kosher. That's the halacha. You need 40 saw of rainwater as your base. Once you have your 40 saw of rainwater, wait, we paskin, you can add any amount of other water that you want to. And it will always be a kosher mikvah. This concept is called hashaka, that when the rainwater touches other water, it qualifies it to be a mikvah. So therefore, today, what they do in our mikvahs is in one pit, they have 40 saw of rainwater or more, and in the other pit, they fill up good old tap water, and they touch the two together, and that makes the mikvah kosher. This is the way our mikvahs operate. On the process of Ashaka, we do other chumras as well, but that's the basic premise of the way our mikvahs operate.
What does Ashaka mean?
They touch each other. But Ashaka only works for water, water to water, tap water to rainwater. It will not work for any other liquid. So if I put fruit juice into a mikvah, it depends. Is my majority water, or is my majority fruit juice? If I put apple juice into the mikvah, so then apple juice is not water. Apple juice is apple juice. And therefore, apple juice cannot become a mikvah. Apple juice can be bottle in a mikvah. You need bittle, that it's bottle and becomes like the mikvah. If the majority is water, rainwater, and the minority, you have 40 saw when you started, and the minority is apple juice, that doesn't bother us. If it's the majority apple juice, we got a problem. That's the halacha. Now, I'm not talking about if it's grape juice, because grape juice discolors the mikvah, and that's a different problem. So I picked apple juice, which doesn't discolor the water. It's basically water color. I picked something that's not discoloring, because if I have, I could be white grape juice, but if I have red grape juice, there's a problem if it gets discolored. So I don't want to go there. I want to stay away from discolored. I want to talk about majority-minority. So the halacha is, if I have rainwater 40 saw and I add any amount of water, it doesn't make a difference. Because the water turns into mikvah water. But that's only a halacha of water to water. It cannot work from water to any other liquid. Any other liquid, as long as it's a minority to the water, doesn't bother us. So if I have a mikvah of 500 gallons and I pour in 100 gallons of By the way, that's what usually mikvahs are, about 500 gallons, one of these mikvahs. And I pour in 100 gallons of white grape juice. Does that discolor it? It's a kosher mikvah. I have enough, because the majority is water. But if I have a mikvah of 250 gallons, and I pour in 300 gallons of white grape juice, I have a problem. Because now my mikvah is a majority apple juice or grape juice, and it's not water. And the chance say bittul. At least that's the halacha, correct?
What bittul are you talking about? The real one or the fake one? The one that you go into or the one that's original?
In those days, it was the same one. But let's say it's the one, it doesn't make a difference. Because the one you go into is the real one because of our chakra.
I know, so you're
there's no fake one. We don't go into fake mikvahs. Fake mikvahs.
Once you have, let's say, 40 saw of the real rainwater, then you can go into a million grape juice, no?
No.
Why?
Grape juice cannot turn into a mikvah.
No, not grape juice. White wine.
No, it
Why?
Can't, because only water is their hashaka, not for any other liquid. That's what I was trying to say. The concept of hashaka, of making a liquid that's non-kosher for mikvah into a mikvah, only works from water to water. Okay. Cannot work from water to white wine.
What would the only case would be, let's say it's
Mayim Shubim
or something.
That's
Mayim Shubim,
is water.
That's all
I just said. It only works from water to water. It will not work from water to any other liquid.
Makes it kosher mikvah.
Water. Right. Let me say it this way. If I have one pit full of rainwater and another pit full of white wine and I touch them together, the white wine is still puzzled. I can't make white wine into a mikvah. It's not water. Hashaka only works for water. Doesn't work for any other liquid. Bittul works for other liquid. A minority of white wine that falls into majority water, it loses its entity and becomes water.
Over time.
Well, let's give the Gemara a chance now.
Hashaka can be removed afterwards, or you can block the hashaka, rather.
Hashaka is a one-time thing.
One-time thing.
You don't have to have a constant hashaka. It's a chumrah of the rabbi, you don't need it. I mean, halachically, we don't paskin it. We are machmer in certain mikvahs, but that's not the point now. Some mikvahs, I'll say this, because Einish built mikvah in Bnei Barak, and in Baltimore, when they built a mikvah in the Glen Avenue Shul years ago, they had the following thing. They had rainwater. They had two pits, rainwater. Filled up the next pit with tap water. Touched the rainwater and the tap water with hashaka. Emptied out the rainwater, filled it up with other tap water, which touched the first tap water. And they kept on changing the pits from one to the other, but it was always full. One was always full, and one was always replaced. Touching the one that was full, which had touched the one before, which had originally touched the rainwater. So they had, this mikvah had not seen rainwater in 40 years. Because the hashaka makes it mikvah water.
We're really trying to show us that they know that halacha or...
No, it's not too convenient. You don't have to keep rainwater supply. In our mikvah here, they have to have a pipe from the roof. And every so often, they have to add rainwater.
Why?
It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah to have rainwater there always.
The truth of the matter is, the original rainwater in what you just described in Baltimore no longer exists.
So by doing this, okay, so what, I don't want to get involved with mikvahs. By keeping a separate pit of rainwater, they estimate that there will always be, that pit holds a lot of rainwater, 250 gallons of rainwater. They estimate that it takes three, four years, whatever it is, for that rainwater to be gone. And then they clean it out, dry it up, and then bring in more rainwater.
So they did keep separate rainwater.
And today, that's what we do. That's what most mikvahs do. But that's a chumrah. Halachically speaking, in many places, they don't do that.
I'm just asking, in Baltimore, did they let the rainwater completely dissipate?
Yes.
But since, because of the principle of Hashaka, once anything had touched that original rainwater,
right,
as long as some of that water... Touching through generations still exists.
Exactly.
Okay. Why then do we need
Right is a second pit still necessary after all those years?
Then you can't clean it if you can't take it out. If you want to clean the first one pit.
But you could shift generation 18 of the original water through Hashaka to the secondary pit and then clean the part you go.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. But most mikvahs don't rely on that. Most mikvahs are machmer to have rainwater on a constant basis.
But how does just this relatively minimal amount of rainwater even help you at this point?
It's not minimal. I told you, they fill up 250 gallons worth of rainwater.
In Arizona, that's a problem. I mean...
And Cleveland, it's not a problem. By the way, you'd be shocked how fast that fills up. Because you would think it takes a few rains, one solid rain will fill it up. Because the way they made it is the roof slants towards the pipe. And all the water that rains on the roof falls into that pipe, goes straight into that pit. And it gets 250 gallons very quickly.
And bleach, that is water-based. Right? So that's not like apple juice.
I don't know.
The juice that comes from a...
I wouldn't want a table on bleach, you know. I mean, it's not so... It's pretty...
Disinfectants that have to go...
They put in disinfectants. They put in chlorine. They put in chlorine or chemicals. They put in all kinds of chemicals. They put in chemicals. They test it every week, and they put in chemicals and all mixed with today.
Our last president said we
could drink it. Okay. Dante Gemara, Vatran. Mikvah, she has by our bomb saw, Mechuvanas. A mikvah that has 40 exact saw. Now, biblically speaking, what happens is as follows. I add one saw of white grape juice. That's butel. Right? I remove a saw. The saw I remove is a mixture of rainwater and apple and white grape juice, because what the liquids mix up, right? So biblically speaking, this would never be a problem, because since the grape juice was bottled, and then I move on, it never gets its entity back. It'll always be bottled, meaning I have 40 saw of rainwater, I added one saw of white grape juice, so now I have 40 saw, one saw of water, because the grape juice loses its entity. It was bottle. Biblically speaking, it loses its entity.
Becomes water.
Rabbinically, they said, you can only do this up to 20 times, or 19 times, as we will see. You have to guarantee that there'll be a majority of rainwater left. So you have to, you know, this statistically won't work, we'll leave the math out for a second. But you can't do this more than 19 times. Because you must be sure that there's at least 21 saw of rainwater left. And if you do this 20 times, you might at that point have half grape juice, half white grape juice, and half water. And that's not a good mikvah. It's a rabbinic chumrah. Because biblically, this is how the Rishonim explained it, the water never turns, the grape juice became water. But rabbinically, since it's grape juice, they said once it hits half, you have to be machmer. So you can play around up to half. You can have 40 saw of rainwater, add one of wine, white wine, remove it. Remove one saw. Add another saw of white wine. Remove one saw. Keep on going till you get to 19. At 20, then it becomes 20 and 20, it's a problem. Now, the truth is, the Rishonim deal with the fact that mathematically it's not true. Because when you remove the first one, you're not moving one of water. You're removing one that's 40 ones of water and one of grape juice. And as it goes on, the statistics change. So really, you can do it. But the Rishonim say that's how they made it, because they didn't want to get involved in fractions. The Taisus Harash says you can do it 19 times. But according to Reb Yechanan, you should be able to do it 20 times. Because he holds by rabbinic, half and half is good. Let me just finish the Gemara. Let me just explain this. So that's the Gemara's question. Rabbi Yochanan said by Truman to Truman, by Chulin to Chulin, 50-50 is good, because Safek Drabanan L'Kula. Well, this is a Chumrah not to have a lot of wine, because biblically it's all bottled. Terence says Rabbanim didn't want a majority of wine, but 50-50 should be good. It's rabbinic. And Rabbi Yochanan should say it's good. And it says there clearly you need 21 of water and 19 of wine. Let's read it inside. But not. Mikvah she'ashba'abam sonam chuvanis. You have 40 saw exact. Nothin saw v'notl saw. You added a saw of May Paris. And again, we want to keep it in this, no discoloration, because discoloration is its own subject. Kashrut. The Amar of Yehuda Bashila, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, Adrubai. Only up till rife, my lab in Ishtaya Rubai. Must mean you still have rife left. According to Rabbi Yochanan, why can't you go up to 50-50? That's the Gemara's kasha. Yes.
And you're having 40 plus one, so you have a total of 41. So you don't have 40 right now. You get one. Pull out that one.
Now you have 40 left.
You always have 40 left, right?
Right, but the 40 is a mixture. But it was bottle.
Right. Does the math still come out accordingly? You do it 20 times.
The math really comes out. I'm not a big mathematician. You can do it many more times than 20 times, really. Except we tried to sneak out that they didn't want to get involved. That they said up to 20 times, up to 19 times. But really, if you figure out mathematically, you can really do it more, because the first time you pulled out the saw, you didn't pull out a saw of rainwater. There was a little bit of white wine in there. The second time you pulled out the saw, you pulled out less rainwater and more wine. There's an increase of wine. As you're pulling it out, it becomes a bigger fraction of what you're pulling out. So really, when you pull out 19 times, you didn't pull out 19 water. You pulled out whatever the fraction is, and Rabbi Yarmov used to have this figured out to the T. He's the math. He used to have to figure out exactly how many times. And also somebody else once did it for me. But the Rishonim say not to bother with it, so I don't have to bother with it. But really, you can figure out the fraction. If you're good at math, you should be able to do this in your head, right? But I can't do it on my paper, so let it alone my head. 27. Here he is. Right, but the Rishonim say I only do it 19 times. Kashrus according to Rabbi Yochanan, why don't I do it 20 times? Zok Trashi. Nothing sub, Mesav Rabbi Yochanan. Sav kedai techai the maisiv. Okay, I have to read the Gemara's answers before we read this Rashi. Zok the Gemara loy, the loy nishko rubai. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan did not mean to say 21 have to be left. He meant to say don't take more than 20. But enokinami, 20 and 20 is good. Because it's only rabbinic, because biblically speaking it was batul, so there's no problem. Ibai is ema. If you want, I can tell you a different answer. Shiny hacha dikele meima shani aimer. The reason Rabbi Yochanan was allowed chulin into chulin and truma to truma is because we could say that it's okay. It wasn't because 50-50 is okay. It was because at worst, it's 50-50, and it might not be 50-50, because the chulin might have fallen, the chulin and the truma might have fallen into truma. Right, Rabbi Yochanan has said, if it falls in, we can assume the chulin fell into chulin, because worst case scenario, it would only be 50-50. But it also included the fact that it might not be a problem. Here by the water, there's no other option. It is a 50-50. Therefore, over here, he's machmer. Now, the question is, why wasn't this an obvious answer? Rabbi Yochanan said Shani Oimer. It said Shani Oimer. The answer was evident that over there we were lenient because there was a chance that it fell into the right one. So what was the comparison to begin with?
The double
meaning. Worst case scenario, it's 50-50, and it's rabbinic. Second of all, it might not have even fallen in. But here there's no second, which is what the Gemara's second answer is. So that's what Rashi addresses in that first Rashi. The summer of Yechonim, Kasal Kedai to hide the Maisev. The one who asked the question thought, the time of the Rabbi Yechonim La Mishum the Summer Chashadi Yomer. Rabbi Yechonim was not relying on the fact that it might not have mixed in to begin with. Elam Mishum the Havanami Ipchas Le Ipchaslan. The reason he was Matris because it didn't bother him 50-50. The Rabbiina Rabuya Madrabaran. He thought rabbinic things don't need majority. Machiyar Batulay. Even 50-50 is Batul. That was the Havamina. The Shani Yomer was an extra, not necessary. And the second Teretz says, no, Shani Yomer is the reason. Nothing Sava Natal Sar Kusher. Gabishar Mashkin. Other liquids, Umei Paris, or fruit juice. The Temed. Temed is when you have the pits of grapes in water and it ferments. That's called temed. What?
M-E-A-D.
I have no idea what it is. It's the pits or peels. You put it in water and you let it ferment. It's a very, it's a weaker form of wine. Even though you removed it. Because now you removed it and you removed rainwater. Right? Fruit juice is not a mikvah. Because when you put it in its bottle, all 41 are now considered a mikvah. And when you removed one, 40 were left. But you have to make sure you put in the one before you take out the one. Because if you took out one, you only have 39. A mikvah needs 40 to start. If you don't have 40 to start, you can't have a mikvah. It's a mikvah chasera. Because you can't say that the fruit juice is bottled in 39. It has to be a kosher mikvah. The mashkin halolo e mashlim in a mikvah. The fruit juice can't make the 40th saw. If you start with 40 of rainwater, then you can continue. My love, the nishtaya rubai ad yutessa yagulatis ke avo tvei loy, but not more. The beinon the heavy rubai make shamim. We need the majority to be rainwater. Now here Rashi throws something in that everybody asks on Rashi. Alma avagav the psul sheiva drabanon. Now Rashi seems to indicate that we're talking about water, sheuvim. And he's saying that that would be a problem as well. Now, in the last Rashi, he stressed that it was fruit juice. Because water is not a problem because of Ashaka. Here he throws in the word Shiva, and everybody's bothered by this Rashi. Boy, Ruba Bekashrus. I have no answer. Rashi seems to say in this Rashi that tap water would be the same problem as fruit juice. In the last Rashi, he talked about fruit juice only. He didn't talk about water. And everybody spoke out because water is Ashaka. Here Rashi all of a sudden throws in the concept of she'iva, which is tap water. And he throws it in here, which is contradicting the previous Rashi, and I have no answer. Do I nishko ruba? I have a lot of power to shop a dummy, but 250-50 is good. Of course I need a majority. Even though there by the chulin and the truma, Rabbi Yochanan relied on the 50-50. There was the possibility that there was never a problem that the chulin went into the chulin. They ain't got answer. Here there's no other possibility. You can't say that maybe you removed the fruit juice. You for sure removed part of the water. The lekulameimer caused the benaklam, and you can't say that you remove the same fruit juice that you put in. Because water, the liquid mixes up right away, and when you remove something, it's going to be a mixture. And ultimately, there is no way to say that the water is still intact. It's not. And therefore, there's no other option. So Rabbi Yochanan agrees that you need a majority. That's the answer.
If you have a 40-some mikvah, and it evaporates the saw...
Forget it. Gone.
And you add, and the same pipe from the roof comes down and adds another saw.
Again, to make a mikvah, I have to start with 40 saw of rainwater.
Does that drip at one time?
No, it has to be there before I add anything else.
In other words, when they initially make a mikvah,
they need 40 saw of rainwater.
So where do they get the 40 saw?
From the roof.
From one rain?
No, it doesn't have to be from one rain. It can take 6 rains. As Harvey pointed out, in Arizona, it's going to take a while. As long as nothing else gets mixed in. Can't add any tap water till you have your 40 saw rainwater. By the way, there's another way to make a mikvah, but in Arizona it's not going to work either. And that's to use snow. You can take snow, it's considered like, if you take snow off the ground and put it into the pit of the rainwater, it's considered like rainwater. We rely on that only with the oven. But in Arizona, that's not going to help either.
There is snow in Arizona.
Arizona?
Yes,
not in
Phoenix. There are in Tucson, there are mountainous ranges like the people go skiing.
Again, I don't know how they do it in Arizona. I just offered that as a we only use them in the
other.
What?
You
pick it up.
Use a shovel.
Not really. There's a way to do it, but I don't know exactly how to do it. But we don't use it l'chatchila. It's only used when it's impossible to get rainwater. If we can get rainwater, we want rainwater.
In Russia, they made mikvahs like that.
Right. 100%. Right. The easiest way is to get rainwater. That's how we do it. But you're right. In Arizona, it would be problematic to have 40-cell rainwater. You'd have to wait. But once you have it once, you're good to go. Chumrah to have it constantly, but the chumrah. In Arizona, that chumrah might be difficult.
Story in the Mishpat many years ago about the mikvah they built somewhere.
I'm sorry, it's not Tucson, it's Flagstaff.
I mean, fine. So now we're finished with the whole sugya of Reb Shlakish and Reb Yechanan. We're going back to our Mishnah that talks about whether or not dragonus is a male. Now, our Mishnah seems to stress his male part because it said he can marry as a male, not as a female. Right? That's what it said. And Rabbi Eliezer said if somebody lives with him, it's considered Mishkav Zachar. If a male would live with the androgynous, it would be considered Mishkav Zachar. Dr. Gemara Tanan, our Mishnah said, androgynous Naitse. An androgynous can marry a girl. Now, this is a kash on Rosh Lakish. Rosh Lakish said, rabbinically, we consider him a man. Biblically, he's not considered married. He doesn't allow chas v'shaik. If you remember, Rosh Lakish said, we only rely on an androgynous to feed his wife, rabbinic truma, not biblical truma. Now, if it says he can marry, isn't that saying he's a man? If he's not a man, how do we let him marry? Nice day is mashma, that he can marry, right? What? That means he's a man. What is he biblically? Let's step back. According to Rosh Lakish, what is this androgynous biblically? If he's male, why can't he feed his wife truma? Terence says, we don't know. He might be male, he might be female. That means biblically we're treating him like a suffix. So then why are we telling him he can go marry l'chatchila m'drei bonim? Why are we allowing him to do that? If he's not biblically male, and the Raya Rosh Lakish does not consider him biblically male, it's in the fact that he doesn't let him feed his wife truma d'oraisa. So if he's not biblically male, why is he allowed to get married as a male and feed his wife truma d'rabanan? He's not male. Dr. Gemara. Tani im nasa. No. We don't tell him to get married. Because we don't know if he's male or not. It might not be a marriage. But if he did, we say, since it's a suffix, he can feed his wife truma d'rabanan. Again, we don't encourage marriages with somebody that might not be male. It might not be a marriage. It might be a non-marriage. It might be living together without the benefit of marriage. So we're not going to encourage that. But if he did it, rabbinically, he can feed his wife truma because rabbinically it's a suffix. We can go on l'kula.
Why is it that for a woman?
Because there's a mishkav zachar problem. You have to understand, being a male, treating him like a female misafik, if he's a male, we're dealing with a shayla of mishkav zachar.
The worst case is he married to a woman. If you're a woman, marry a woman.
Exactly. Which is not a marriage. But it's not a mishkav zachar. Yes.
Does that mean that if she was a bas kol and she married him, she would have to stop? And he was a Yisrael. The judge said, so she would have to stop being a truma?
Biblical truma.
And the
Well, it's not as that. It's a drabonah, so it's like she'll let her eat.
But over here, the heter she has of eating the rabbinical because she's married to the...
Correct.
So she marries a Yisrael,
she can't eat from her father's house anymore. She might be married to Yisrael.
Right. And she couldn't eat the... Right. she couldn't eat the rabbanon.
She can't eat anything. She's married. She might be married to Yisrael. I'll tell you about Shem tomorrow.
Glad to have children.